Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Upon winning the CFDA Vogue Fashion Fund Award in 2017, Telfar Clemens said, quote, "I know it's been a hard, long road, but that's what pioneers do. This is coming back to Queens." It was at school in Queens that a young man, just 15, started designing. Fast forward to last fall when he had his first show in Paris, where his spring-summer 2020 line was a main attraction.
One of the greatest shots of energy on the Paris Fashion Week this season was Telfar, with its first show in town. The best finale was Telfar.
We are in Paris at our temporary studio, getting ready for our show. Tomorrow is my first show in Paris, so I'm excited about it.
His shows are often events whose front rows are populated by friends and collaborators like Jeremy O'Harris and Solange, with inspiration spanning from streetwear to cowboy western. Radical inclusion is part of the fabric of Telfar's brand. His slogan sums it up: not for you, for everyone. Joining me in studio today is designer Telfar Clemens. Hi, Telfar.
Hello.
And Telfar's creative director, Babek Radvoy. Babek, welcome.
Hi there.
What was it like to hear that?
Oh my God, there's a flashback, rewind and remembering moments. Like, kind of exciting to see how much has happened. We've had almost, I think, 3 different shows in Europe, so it's good to be back in New York.
We've been on like a nonstop schedule.
I bet.
That season we showed in New York and Paris in one season, which we found out was the first time that it ever been done.
Like, we were told that it's impossible to be on both calendars by the French Federation. So we were on the New York calendar, and then we had a runway show that was in Paris that was almost like off schedule, but on schedule. Yeah.
Sometimes it's good to not know what's impossible. You know, if you don't know it's impossible, then
well,
you can
in Paris,
do it.
The first thing that they say is it's impossible until it's possible.
Yeah, so. Now, you grew up in Queens.
Yes, born and raised in Lefrak City. What's up?
What in your work lets me know that you're from Queens?
I think just the way how clothing operates. You know, I think in Queens, people are really like, Queens is like basic. You know what I mean? It's like flat shoes, regular coat, bubble coat. It's a mix of like high street that meets people's individual style, I would say. You know, so it's like each person, even though they're wearing the same thing, they kind of have a different swag of how they wear it.
So as the legend goes, you're 15, you're designing. Did it just come naturally to you, or had you seen something that sparked your interest? How did it start?
I mean, for me, growing up, basically like the clothes that I wanted didn't exist, so I basically had to make them. It's like I've always been attracted to things that, you know, are in women's wardrobes, and you know, it's like I wanted a shirt that was a crop top, but I wasn't allowed to buy it because it was in the women's section, you know. So when I started to make clothes that fit how I wanted to dress, I just didn't put a gender on it, and that's always how I like proceeded with my career and what I wanted to make, because it's like it's for a person that's like me, you know, and a person that really just wears what they think looks good on them, rather than trying to explain where they got it from, or the women's or the men's section, or like in between, or I'm wearing, you know, like. And it's always fine for a woman to wear a man's piece, but it's not okay in the opposite way. So it's like really like I wanted that freedom to exist for my customer. It's like gender is like the last thing, you know. It's like who's that t-shirt for? It's like, well, it has 2 arms and a neck, so I guess it's for a human, you know. It's like,
so are your parents are immigrants?
My parents are both Liberian, from West Africa. I'm first generation, a bit of an anchor, anchor baby.
So I know a lot of, you know, first generation parents, they have an idea of what you're supposed to do,
yes,
right? Doctor,
yes,
lawyer, professional.
Exactly, exactly. Coming from Liberia too, it's like you don't really have a job unless it's like doctor, lawyer, you know, things that are just really textbook, you know? So me wanting to do, I think anything that I wanted to do was really like unlearning things that you're taught. Oh, you're a boy, you're interested in fashion, which is like typically considered a feminine, you know, kind of, you know, job or something. Mm-hmm. Just years of being comfortable with myself and knowing what I wanted. And then that finally just, like, once I was selling things and operating like a business, I was like, wait, I can just do this as a job. I went to school to be an accountant.
Right, you went to business school at Pace.
I went to Pace University and I just thought I was going to be an accountant and make clothes on the weekends.
Like the best and only for myself,
you know. And when I got into, like, you know, I was really good at whatever I was going to do, mm-hmm. but I just didn't know that that path wasn't my path. It's like I was making clothes at 15, but I just didn't know that until people actually were buying the clothes and buying the things that I made, and I was able to support myself through college. It's like that's when I knew that I had something, you know. So I just put accounting to the side and went, you know, full on business management with what I wanted to do. But, you know, even that is like, it's been like an upward experience, I would say. Like I said, pioneers, you know, because just being able to get an account in a store and mm-hmm. being a unisex brand was like a challenge, yeah. you know?
Or a yeah. review, because it's like, oh, you're showing during Women's Week, but this isn't a women's show. Mm-hmm. And that was 10 years where no one would review the shows, mm-hmm. essentially, which is outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, like even getting normal sponsorship channels that other designers would get, we have to like kind of almost make a case for ourselves in a way, because it's like, oh, like your models aren't female, or are they female? And what kind of makeup are they wearing? And, you know, so we weren't getting these sponsorships, and that's like we almost had to cut our own road, you mm-hmm. know, at the end of the day. And that's like where, you know, great things like White Castle came about, and, you know, making the uniform for them, and like working with Kmart and working with, you know.
We ended up starting this whole, they call it
down market
down
trend market trend
in fashion. But we,
well, explain what is that supposed to mean? I'm not sure I like
it's
that.
Like, yeah, it's, I like mean,
what happened for us is that fashion shows were sponsored by hair and makeup, mm-hmm. and we had black models, and so that wasn't of interest. and plus we had a really bad attitude / you know, we were had a good sense of humor, and mm-hmm. so we were like, okay, let's find bad some sponsors attitude. For us. We yeah. would go after people like Kmart mm-hmm. and White Castle, who are just not part of the conversation for fashion, because for us that was exactly what we were trying to champion. Mm-hmm. And it ended up starting this whole trend, but it wasn't really ironic. It was
kind of just true to, because, you know, like a lot of the places that I've collaborated with, like literally are in this left rack city square of, you know, like,
everybody knows what it looks like.
Yeah, it's like White Castle, Century 21, you know, these are places that I lived in, you mm-hmm. know, that's like where I ate mm-hmm. at night, you know, that's like the only place that's open at 4 a.m. when I'm coming home, you know, and I eat there, you know, and yeah. I make their uniform, and I sell my clothes at Century 21, and my house is around the corner from both of those places.
Like, what was my guests are Telfar Clemens and Bebek Rabboy. We're talking about Telfar's rise as a fashion designer. What was it like, those meetings with White Castle? So you make these uniforms for White Castle. They're great looking. I mean, they're great looking, but it's such
everybody wants a job at White Castle.
So what were those initial meetings like?
Just really great. It's like Jamie Richardson, shout out to Jamie, is like,
yes,
the most amazing human being to work with. And he just, like, you know, like he, there's a family owned business, and it's like kind of like how we run our business in a way. Mm-hmm. So
he's a CEO, like, of White Castle.
Yeah.
He's the vice president. We found, I mean, you know, we called the 1-800 number. Mm-hmm. That's how we got the collaboration to begin with. And then they suggested, with a week to go, why don't we do the party, the after party at our White Castle? Which for us was like, that sounded like a good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was in Times Square, and it was just this magical thing, because clearly there wasn't any permits for this party. And then the vice president was standing behind the counter flicking the lights on and off as the strobe, and you just, you know, poured yourself drinks at the soda fountain.
Yeah.
And it was this incredible party that felt like a New York thing that's not supposed to happen anymore.
Yeah, like, but people are scared to come in. Like, it's like, no, anybody can come in. There's no list. You want a drink?
But it was, you know, that it happened, in that case, it happened that there was some kind of kismet with the people who were there. Mm-hmm.
I think just, like, the idea that, you know, like, that's what fashion is, and that's considered, it's like everybody wants a piece of the uniform, and, you know, but you have to get a job to get on. So just like having that, you know, reach, mm-hmm. you know, and understanding of what fashion can be and what is fashion. you know.
And making all the other brands feel really old.
How did you negotiate your way into sort of the elite and can be elitist world of high fashion? As people started to pay more attention to you, mm-hmm. and you want to stay you and you want to stay authentic, but this is also an incredible opportunity mm-hmm. to go into that world. What kind of conversations did you guys have about your creative vision, about how to do it and remain authentic?
I think we just tried to stay as true to what we were feeling as possible, you know, because it's like we're not far off from, you know, like the people we actually are is like, that's what you see. And mm-hmm. that's what we're presenting is no, like trying to put on our fashion face for this person. It's mm-hmm. like really just like, I think once you stop caring is really like, that's fashion actually. Uh-huh. Right. Like once you're just doing you, you know.
I mean, the shows are really about a reaction to that, like season to season.
Tell me more about that.
It's like what we were looking for is like, what is a thing that we have that someone else can't have, no matter how much, money they have.
Yeah.
Which is like kinship, friendship, mm-hmm. risk, trust, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. among like the community that we have, the people that we work with. You know, when we collaborate with a musician, it's because we text them year round. You know, we're stuck in the same position with them. Like people like that a little too much, so the next season we put the audience in a cage.
Yeah. In the rain.
The season after that we had the models fall. We did it at Irving Plaza and had the models fall into the audience.
Mm-hmm. And they were crowd surfed as the runway.
Film in Paris.
Yeah,
and then we made a sleepover in Florence. You know, these things are all kind of negotiations of that, of like the fact that whatever we do, the industry is not exactly, you know, we don't want them to get confused that we're doing it just for them.
Yeah.
We're doing it mm-hmm. for ourselves and for the people who we actually connect with and who support our band financially at the end of the day.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, I almost have stopped calling the shows. I'm just like, their experience, you mm-hmm. know, because it's like, I hate the word show because it's like, I'm coming to see the show, you know? Yeah. It's like, no, you might just be sitting in a cage somewhere like, in the rain, being part of the show, like fully part of the show. Like you're like a fixture in the show. You know, it's like the audience is as important as the performer, which just makes everybody like equal, you know.
My guests are Telfar Clemens and Babak Rabboy. We're talking about Telfar's brand and his fashion. And I just love that sort of the ethos behind it, the idea that not for you, for everyone. How long did it take you to come up with that? Was that just evident? Was that just like something you said one day and it felt good?
I feel like we say really good things every day. So, you know, I think it's one of the things that definitely stuck and it means so much to so many different people, you mm-hmm. know. So, like, you know, more taglines to come.
Yeah,
well, it makes me happy. When I saw it, that's sort of the kind of thing that makes me just, yes. Yeah. For everyone, yes.
Yeah.
And it's not an answer. It's like a question.
Yeah.
You know, we're not trying to answer what exactly that means. It does something.
Yeah, I like leaving things really open-ended for people to make up their own minds. It's like, feel like people aren't stupid and people are, they have subscribed to so many different rules when it comes to fashion. And I feel like when you actually take a lot of that away, you have more, more to work with, more mm-hmm. to look at, more to engage in. And it's like, kind of, that's the space where I want to be in, where it's like, it's not fashion, it's just like living, you know?
I have to ask you about the bag. I hope this is not too, you probably answered a million questions. So this bag that you created has become a thing. It's, you know, it's sort of a signal of like, yeah, I know what's up. I've got this bag and it's functional and it's...
They're clued in.
You know, they're clued in. What do you think it is about this bag? Now that I've said it, people are going to run and go Google it.
Oh, yeah.
And then you realize I've seen these, you know? But what is it about this bag that you think it really caught people's imagination?
I think it's more, it just caught their, it caught up with their lifestyle. Because it's like people that didn't even know that they would be using that bag. They carry it every day because it's just useful.
I also love your logo.
Thank you.
I think your logo is I find it cheeky.
Uh-huh. Cheeky.
I do. I mean, it's very clean and it's lovely. But I think it's cheeky because, and if anybody said this to you before, it's got enough of a reminiscence of Chanel or Gucci, but it's mm-hmm, you,
mm-hmm.
You're the opposite of that.
Or, you know,
not
like,
the opposite, yeah. but you're your own thing. You're not mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. I mean, like, I got this logo basically from my ESOL teacher at PS206, like when I first came to the country after the Liberian Civil War. You know, I returned back to Queens. And there was this whole point system of how you, like, you know, like, would gain points when you learned what you did well in some mm-hmm. sort of, like, activity or whatever. But that was my anagram, you know, Telfar Clemens, so T and a C, and that was my logo. So whenever I would draw clothes, I would always put this logo on the clothes that I would draw, so.
Well, what do you like about it?
That it's T and a C, and it's my logo. Yeah. It's really special that it's, you know, this thing, mm-hmm. and is recognizable on this level, like, as a fashion signifier, you know?
What do you think is about the logo, Bebek? Because they're not your initials. So.
I mean, it's like it really is like, it's real. The story behind it is what it is, mm-hmm. which is kind of that's how we work in general. I mean, even with the bag, like, it's hard to talk about a bag after the fact as if it's just a form. But the thing about the bag is that there isn't another bag that ever operated like this. Like, a bag is supposed to be this thing that shows how much money you have at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm 30 and I'm doing okay. Now I'm 40, I need an upgrade. You know, like,
right,
this is a bag that's status, but has nothing to do with money, you know? And that is what really, like, drew this energy to it. It's like a mm-hmm. different idea of status mm-hmm. and a different type of thing that you're identifying with. And we set the price. I mean, Telfar set the price on
based on a DJ's budget of what you would make in one night DJing or hosting some party.
Is that what you're
based on? Like, yeah, it's like really like a downtown kind of like operation of like, you could. She got $200 from doing that. That's like what the bag should cost, the big one, you know. And the small one should be around like $90 because that's like, you know, what that, you know. So it's like we kind of just gauge things on like actually like. You know, I'm that person that I'm making it for, you know, and yeah. I know what I can afford and I know that what I would buy that at and what other people would just like, you wouldn't even think about it twice, you know, and it's just like really like that's the point of fashion is to have things and not have to sacrifice yourself, you yeah. know, like, you yeah. know, so.
When you think about the way you described your not shows, your events, the experiences.
Mm-hmm.
As you move forward, do you think you'll continue to participate in only certain fashion weeks? You didn't choose to be in New York Fashion Week this time around.
Right? Yeah, because we had just done our show in Italy. So, mm-hmm. you know, right now we're kind of just taking a period to really focus on what works for us. Because the fashion cycle is so vicious, it makes you lack creativity and it doesn't make sense. You know, like you're just actually... you know, investing in being around, you know, yeah. whereas like, you know, we're so present right now that I feel like I'm comfortable beginning to work in a new way that makes sense for me as a business, you know,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily New York Fashion Week and like trying to get some celebrity to come. It's like really like, where do you want to be? And like, you know, it's a new decade right now, yeah. you know, everything's changing. Like everything has changed. It's like New York Fashion Week this season was like, the most different, you know, I wasn't there, but I just like, you know, you can just feel like something shifted.
For the better or?
I think like anything that's futuristic is good to me, you know, like what are you going to do? You can't rewind or go back, you know, you just have to really work with what you have in front of you. And I think that there's endless possibilities and lots of new things happening and people are reacting to things in a different way.
Yeah, you there's know? A crisis in the old way here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to force people to do things differently
mm-hmm.
because it actually doesn't make sense there either.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you know, we're all kind of emulating what you would do if you made more than $10 million a season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you make that many looks and make that kind of statement, it's because you have endless cash mm-hmm. and every young designer is just pretending
to
do it in order to make the same statement. At the end of the day, like we see our bag sales, we're selling bags in like Tallahassee, Chattanooga, mm-hmm. Birmingham, Long Beach, Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Like there's mm-hmm. no store. Like they're not getting anything from a fashion store. So how are we going to reach people?
That person, yeah.
You know, outside, like it's not about Paris.
Thanks to Instagram, we know who
our customer is.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, that's not a thing that I could say existed before. It's like so much insight and then so much engagement, you know, that it's just like, why, you know, try to do that in a week when you can just do that all the time?
What have your customers taught you about you, about you and your designs that you didn't necessarily know?
That literally, like, you mean, I mean, our Instagram is Telfar Global, but that we are global, and it's like has this appeal to it that is literally for everybody and for nobody mm-hmm. at the same time, you know. And it's really just like, you know, I'm dressing people, you know, of all different. It's not a fashion person, is not an art person, you know, mm-hmm. because it's like we see so many different things, and it's just like, wow, that person has that bag, and that person, and that dog has that bag, and the baby has that bag. Mm-hmm.
My guests have been Telfar Clemens and Babek Radboy. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Telfar. Congratulations on everything.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
This is all of it.